Lord. We need you, Lord. We will. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What a wonderful touch and anointing of the Lord is here. Psalm 67, and I will only read the first verse. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, our rest. You could say that this writer and this people that he was speaking for were praying that the Lord would touch their generation. A few months ago, when the choir was singing the song they've just completed, it was as if the Lord drew back a bow, dipped an arrow in an anointing and in the fire of conviction, and drew it back and hit my heart with that line, touch our generation. Lord, touch our generation. And I begin to think about how each of us, no matter which generation we come into, can pray and sincerely ask God, help us, touch our generation to love and serve you. Touch our generation to value faithfulness. Touch our generation to value godliness and godly values and priorities. And now it's come time to present that message that the Lord gave, and it's simply, touch our generation. I would like, as the preamble to this message, would you pray that prayer about and for your generation? Now, Lord, we do sincerely ask it. We feel the reverence of your presence here tonight. We feel a very special, a very awesome move that humbles us, and we feel it. Our very being, our soul trembles at your presence. I thank you for that presence, and I ask you to touch us now and touch this generation tonight and in every day following. Touch our generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I would like for you, first of all, to consider, what is it that challenges you and your family as you make the effort to please God and to be spiritually strong, to stay prepared for both this life and then to be prepared for His coming? Is it the challenge of commitment? Is it the challenge of consistency? Is it the challenge of living victoriously? Is it the challenge of living in joy, or some other challenge? We all are challenged in some way. I'm glad to tell you tonight that God desires to help you to address and be victorious in any area that is challenging you tonight. That's one of the reasons God has given this message. It is to help you in victory. It is to help us to address those things that we battle and that we face. Through the years of my pastoral ministry, there are some challenges that I have observed people contending with. I'm not going to name them all, but I'm going to name what perhaps I would feel would be some of the most that I have seen the most frequently, and that has provided the most hindrance. One would be understanding the importance of spiritual influences and spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines in our life. Valuing things like the importance of prayer and Bible reading and fasting and church attendance and giving. And to maintain a consistent schedule to those, in other words, being committed to those spiritual values and practices and ideals. Maintaining spiritual priorities is a challenge because there's a strong propensity and temptation to live by our own natural priorities and the pressure of what the world would say is a priority. Another challenge has been living for this life versus living for eternity. None of us have ever been there, and so it's hard to wrap our hands and our understanding around eternity. But there is an eternity, and there are things we can do here in this temporal life that will make a difference eternally. If we lived with eternity in mind, much of what seems so important to us would not be nearly as important. This would also include the challenge and the battle to maintain an awareness and readiness for His coming. So there is no doubt tonight that every generation should pray the line of that song, "Lord, touch our generation." Thank you, choir, for singing it with passion, and I felt it in that line and other lines. It is important that we mean what we say and we mean what we sing. There are needs and prayer requests that every generation has, older, younger, middle-aged, children. There is a universal request that can and should be made by every generation, every age group. And that is a call and a request for the essential distinguishing mark of the Holy Ghost. Let that mark our generation. Just before service, I was viewing a message by Sister Vesta Mangan. I already had this written down, and she just stated it. She was talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. She said, it seems like some folks are afraid to mention the term Holy Ghost, and they only want to mention Holy Spirit. Well, you can say it either way you want to. But we need the distinguishing mark of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need it like Moses and Israel needed it when he said, "Lord, if your presence go not with me, don't even carry us up to that land. We need you with us." We must have and we must depend upon the Spirit. And in this time, it is especially important. And here's why. Because there is increased knowledge. There is increased knowledge at our fingertips. If a man can't prepare a sermon in this day and time, he don't need to come to a pulpit or call himself a preacher. There are sermons, there are commentaries, there are notes, there is whatever we need. All we have to do is type a few buttons. And there's a vast knowledge. But we know that's not all that goes into a message. There's technology and there's education. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But we can be tempted to depend upon those natural abilities and powers rather than depending on the Spirit. But we must continually have the mindset and the heart set. It is not by might. It is not by power. The only way there's going to be a good service tonight is because the choir was anointed, because the worship team was following the Spirit, because people were praying in the Spirit, and a pastor ministered in the Spirit, not by power, but by His Spirit. We must have the Spirit in the salvation process and experience. You must have the Spirit of God to be saved. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I am making a very firm stand and solid statement that you must be born again. You must be water baptized in Jesus' name. You must be infilled with the Holy Ghost. And don't take that must as a penalty or a discipline. You get to be baptized in Jesus' name. You get to repent of your sins because of the forgiveness of the Lord. We need the Spirit. after we receive it initially, we need to walk in and be led by the Spirit. Every generation should pray and should desire, Lord, I want to be led by the Spirit. Once again, this past week, I heard the testimony of Brother Jerry Staton, who pastors in Washington, D.C. He was here. He is unorthodox. You remember Brother Staton. He's just Jerry Staton. But he told his testimony of coming to the Lord. And there are hundreds that have received the Holy Ghost and are receiving the revelation of God through his ministry of every culture, every nation up there in Washington. But he gave his testimony and God had touched him and began to deal with him and even filled him with the Holy Ghost over in Vietnam as he went into some room somewhere that the Lord had directed him to. And he started praying and God filled him. He didn't know hardly anything about God or the Holy Ghost, but he was in there for a good amount of time. He don't even know how long he was in there. But when he gets off the plane in San Francisco from overseas, the Lord speaks to him. And in his word, he said, Jesus just said to me, Jerry, go connect yourself to those three men over there. He didn't know who they were, but he just had simple enough faith to do exactly what the Holy Ghost spoke to him to do. And he may not even have known it was the Holy Ghost or Jesus that talked to him, but he just obeyed. Those three men were three instructors from the Stockton Bible College. Brother Dan Rigdon, Brother Tim Dugas, and another individual. They gave him a card, and about a month later, Brother Staton made his way to Stockton, and God continued to work and deal in his life, formed his life, and we know the rest of the story. He is still serving God this many years later. He was led by the Spirit. Those kind of things still happen. People in this room have had God speak to us. A generation needs to pray, God, I want to be led by the Spirit. Every generation should pray and desire for a hunger and a knowledge of the Word of God. Pray for that hunger. Pray for knowledge and understanding about the Word of God. Pray for insight and wisdom to know how to apply and live out His Word. And then pray for a spiritual tenacity to hold on to scriptural truth and to doctrines and teachings and values. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to hold tight. And we need to pray that prayer. We're just not going to be able to hold on to it because mom and dad did, or because we have for 20 or 40 or 50 years. We need every generation, young, middle-aged, and elder. You need to pray, God, I want a spiritual tenacity. I want a spiritual stubbornness to hold on to scriptural doctrine and teachings like there's only one God. And that one God's name is Jesus. And His blood has power over all power, and there is holiness of life and holiness unto the Lord. This week, I asked several individuals in various generations for responses about their generation. Here are the responses that I requested. What do you feel like are the needs / are the weaknesses of your generation? What are the strengths of your generation? And then, what prayer request do you or would you pray for your generation? I appreciate the responses. They came very quickly from individuals. And they came from those individuals' heart. I knew what I had observed, and many of them duplicated some of those things that I listed to you earlier that I have observed in pastoral ministry. But it was good to hear from the hearts of individuals. And I would just say about these other generations, as you hear the request of these speak tonight, would you add them to your prayers and add them to your praise? The elders who responded answered about needs or weaknesses. They said our needs are peace, connection, purpose, social connection. The need to belong to something, another one said. the need to love and serve others, and that encouraged me. Because here was an elder who had served for many, many years, but they were still saying there's a need to reach out and serve others some. There is a fear of losing your independence in those years. And so that is a need that an elder would have, praying that someone will take care of you. And that person quickly added, the love of brothers and sisters in the church gives us hope. Thank God for the church. I thank God for His family. I thank God for His family. The church has never done me wrong. I said the church has never done me wrong. And if the truth be told, it has never done any of us wrong. But the Lord has put together that wonderful plan called His church. Another talked about how aging can affect us, causing weariness both physically, mentally, and spiritually. Illness and disease can cause there to be anxiety and depression that attacks those in this area. One person simply responded, the prayer for strength for the journey. There is need for strength for the journey. And then another need they presented was learning to rely on God for direction in changes that arise in life. Every generation could probably pray that prayer, but especially so in the elder generation. Another said to feel we can still be useful at our age in the kingdom. We can sometimes feel unnecessary or useless or a burden. I would just say to that tonight, pray against and resist the spirit of uselessness. That is not from God. It is either from the devil or from the flesh. And we will all battle that at some point or some time. A spirit of uselessness. But you are a creation of God. You are His workmanship. You were created by Him, both physically and spiritually, and designed with His destiny in mind. Another said, a need is consistency in our walk with God. And then another amplified that by saying, not to grow lacking in our need for faithfulness in prayer, fasting, giving, and attendance to service. We haven't completed our journey yet, they said. And I would add, avoid, elder, the we've got it made mentality. All of us that have served the Lord for a number of years are very thankful for all of those years. And God has counted every mark of faithful service that we have given and made. But we haven't got it made yet. We still need the Holy Ghost. We still need that distinguishing mark. Another said a daily prayer life, daily Bible reading. One said daily Bible reading and prayer keeps us in constant communication with our Father. I find myself, they said, having to really fight my flesh. I appreciated their transparency because there are so many excuses for not doing this, and then I feel the effects later. There's a message in that all in itself. It's easier as we age to get the attitude that I've done my part. Let the younger generation carry the ball for a while. And this person, these aren't my words, I wish they were, and I'm going to echo them here tonight. This is no time for complacency. This is no time to say, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. Oh yeah, there's a younger generation coming on, and we're going to need to hand the ball to that generation, but there's still something for the workmanship of an elder generation when it comes to our contribution in whatever way that it is. And then they talked about a fresh passion and a fresh vision and a fresh desire that can easily drain away. Because we have been in it for such a long time. We can become lethargic. And then somebody said, there must be an awareness of the soon return of Jesus. An awareness. I'm asking everybody, every generation, make it whatever you have to do. Make it so that every day you reflect on the coming of the Lord. We've got to live in this life, I know. So we can't be so worried about pie in the sky that we don't walk the earth here. I know that. But I just feel like probably there is a lacking of thinking about the soon return of the Lord. And when he said, when you talk about that and when you think about that, he said, what manner of persons ought you to be? It will change us when we are aware of the soon return and are watchful and ready for his return. The elders said in answer to what strengths, they said, we depend on God for everything. Another said, we may lose our physical strength, but our faith in God is at its highest peak. Woo! And then they added, we've come too far to turn back now. Ooh, hallelujah. That's getting a hold of me right now. That's getting a hold of me right now. Don't even think about turning back. Don't even think about giving up. Don't even think about stopping to serve God. We've come too far. Another said, the experiences of years of Bible reading and study, consecration and wisdom that's been imparted to us from our elders, faith that's been tried and proven. Strength comes from years of faithful service, and that also genders wisdom, they said. And another, strength was full confidence in God's grace and mercy that abides throughout one's lifetime. They've lived enough of lifetime to know that you can have full confidence. Full confidence. I speak that little phrase to somebody. Full confidence. You don't have to worry. There need not be one little question. You can have full confidence that you are in the hands of God, no matter what generation that you are in. Because of the experiences, one said, our generation has a lot to offer the younger generation spiritually. We have lived through some of life's trials and disappointments. We can be an encouragement and a help to others that come behind us. We can testify to the faithfulness of his word to those who will obey that word. And we can testify to his willingness to forgive and restore if we fall. He did it then. He's done it for elders. He will do it for you if you have fallen in any way. He is a redeemer. He is a restorer. And this elder said, this is one of our strengths. We've learned that God is a restoring God. Another person said, when I saw this question, I thought of a song. I've been through enough to know he will be enough for me. I know now that through life, and though life gets dark, seems cruel, God will give me just enough light to see where the next step should be. And we can know how to pray for those younger than us. Even though the set of problems facing them may be different, we've all faced things that can take us down. The devil never keeps trying, but God is always victorious. Here were the requests of that elder generation. Because of the constant attack, one said, on the family, I continually hold up families in prayer, their own and others. Health is a constant worry in that age frame, and so the request was for strength and the touch of God. I like this one, staying mobile so we can help others. Wow. Not self-centered, but others-oriented. It's never too late to reach out a helping hand to others. Another prayer request from one said that we stand fast in the faith. Lord, help us to be faithful to your word. I want to stay just as close to God, if not closer, than I was in my younger years. Another said that we would not grow weary in well-doing. Other generations pray that for that generation, that they would not grow weary in well-doing, and that God would help us to find value in ministry as younger people move into roles that we have filled. And then, Lord, help us to be true examples for the generation following. They said doers and not hearers only. And then this request that we will always be the rock that others need and they can hold on to for prayer and lifting before God. We should pray for a heart and for support of other generations. Pray for them privately, elders, but pray for them publicly also. A trust and a confidence in the younger generation and showing confidence in them. Lord, touch our generation. Lord, touch our generation. And then middle-aged respondents said this about their needs or their weaknesses. One felt there was a universal lack of empathy. Another talked about how that generation is attracted to the spiritual. And it is true. And how our attraction must be based, and our relationship that may come through attraction and the spectacular must be based on commitment and not only on attraction. Another said a personal relationship with God. And they added, you can no longer live off what others have believed and what our parents have believed. Another said the fear of the Lord, reverence and respect for holy things. Commitment and burden. Connecting the spiritual to the physical. In other words, being able to practically live out spiritual principles. It's so important that we come in and live holy and worship holy on Sunday. But it's very, very important that we walk out and worship and live holy on Monday and Tuesday in our values and in our practices. Many in this age group are in the crucial years of family life and career life and even some in education life. And due to busyness, there is a tendency to let spiritual priorities slide. But it's important. One talked about faithfulness. It seems that church attendance is short of just another item on the weekly calendar. If we're tired, we miss. If we get off work late, have to come in our work clothes, we miss. If there's too much housework, we miss. God help us to be faithful. God's first. God is first. And if we're living for eternity, there's not an event more important than being in the presence of God. If we figure it all by our schedule and we look at it, it's going to make sense to miss Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. It's going to make sense. But it doesn't make sense in spiritual priorities. Oh God, help us to have an overall heightened spiritual awareness and not to be fleshly or carnally minded. And perhaps that's due to a lack of prayer or fasting or those other basic spiritual disciplines. Lack of spiritual awareness looks like this. Lack of engagement in a church service. Lack of discipleship involvement. Lacking life decisions or making life decisions that fail to put God first. We need His house. And I might just add to this, when we are in His house, we should be engaged in His house. I don't see this a lot, but I have seen too many dads hanging out in the lobby while church service is going on. I know the conversation may be interesting, and I know that there's great friendship. There is way too much of this. There's nothing bad about this. I saw it happening tonight during pre-service prayer. I see it almost every service. You say, well, Pastor, you're not going to fix that. I'm not trying to fix that. You need to fix that. It's about spiritual priority. It's about spiritual awareness. We have developed such a mindset. It's almost like the hide of the rhinoceros that says, you know, that's really not all that big a deal. Well, here's the converse to that. If it's not all that big a deal, then stop it. I'm talking about our soul salvation here. Because this isn't the presence of just somebody. We're not just in the presence of one another. This is the presence of the Almighty, the Holy, and the awesome God. 1 things first. spiritual awareness. Somebody else said we need to have 100% buy-in to the truth. They said people have gone through the hardest part of life, their school years, their teens, committed to the truth, but then seem to forget what is really important and then slip away. I thank God for every middle-aged person that is still serving God. Many of you were brought up in the house of God and you are continuing to serve the Lord God. And I know this cultural current is trying to take us down another direction or down another pathway. But if you will put God first, if you will fast and pray and read His Word and be faithful to the house of God, there will be a strength and an anointing in your life, and there will be the favor and there will be the blessing of God, and we will be the impact we need to be in this world, and then we will be ready for the coming of the Lord. The strengths of that generation, a tenacity, an overcoming attitude, I believe it's there. There's an openness and acceptance to various things that can be good or bad, the person said. A compassion and a willingness to help. This generation is moved by the needs of others. They're willing to step up to the plate and help people in need, whether it's a mission work or a social work. And this generation is very interested in community involvement and sees the need for the church to be involved in those things, to be the light of the world. This generation seems able to defend a biblical worldview, and I've heard many of you do it. Another strength that someone listed is the past landmark spiritual experiences that they saw and experienced. They said, we still remember days of services ordered by the Holy Ghost. And it turned into what looked like disorder, when God just kind of changed the agenda and changed the schedule. And moved, and people were sensitive and were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what's in here tonight. There's a spirit of healing in this place tonight. I was going to save this to the end, but I feel it right now. Song after song talked about healing of lame, healing of the blind. Brother Spall even came back in prayer after we had already prayed. That wasn't any accident. That wasn't to fill time, Brother Spall. That was the Lord prompting you to let there be a prayer for the healing power of God. And I'm going to let that happen right now in the name of Jesus. If you need a healing from the Lord, if you'll just lift up a hand, you can stand however you want to express it before the Lord. Someone near to you can agree with you right now for a healing. And God can take care of a blood sugar condition. He can take care of a heart valve condition. He can take care of a long-standing physical condition in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, Lord. Yes, by your stripes. By your stripes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. That's right. That's right. That's right. Get engaged in this prayer right now. This is a move of the Holy Ghost here. This is the direction of God. You have the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You can pray a prayer of healing for somebody. Yes. 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 We believe you, God. We believe you. The request of that generation was, Lord, soften us. God, give me direction for leading my family and our career and our financial security. Give us direction from you. Another was a prayer of repentance. God, we repent as a generation if we have walked away from you. Another prayed, Lord, wake us up. God, help us to be committed to passing along truth. Yes. And then a prayer for increased reverence. God, give us this, an increased reverence for God, for the house of God, the things of God, and the people of God. A reverence, the fear of God to touch our life. It is about how you treat the building. It is about how you treat one another. It is about all of those things. God, give us an increased reverence for you and the things that you hold dear. The younger generation, responded about their needs or their weaknesses. One young person said, the top needs in my generation seem to be depression and a lack of purpose in their life. He was talking about unchurched. I look around daily at all my classmates, and a lot of them feel like they have no purpose in life. Overwhelmed, and then the natural pressures of life. And they don't have anyone to turn to and release all of that negative energy. We need a greater level of commitment and faithfulness, another said. Stronger personal walks with God. More prayer, less entertainment, they said. A total commitment and individual sacrifices. We have excelled, one said, in the aspect of praise, but oftentimes fall short in our individual walks when we are alone and in daily life. Altogether, another said, there is simply a lack of prayer in my generation. And they referenced a prophecy given at Azusa Street that there would be a generation that worships a God that they do not pray to. There is a desperate need, that person said, for prayer warriors in my generation. We're hearing the hearts of the people who live in these generations. My generation, one said, struggles with obedience, struggles greatly with being told what to do. And a lack of obedience reflects that. There is a need for obedience to authority figures as well as obedience to God and His Word. The need of sacrifice goes along with the need of obedience. God often calls us to give things up. But with a lack of obedience, there's no sacrifice, and with no sacrifice, there is no growth. As a generation, from my point of view, one said, we are willing to give up what is asked of us collectively, but individual convictions are something we avoid in many instances. And then there's strength. Observing my peers over the years, one said, I have seen spiritual strengths in areas of love, boldness, and compassion. I've seen those same strengths. Other generations have seen those same strengths in this younger generation. Embracing people whose views may oppose their own. It's okay to be compassionate towards someone regardless of who they are. Another said, this generation has a hunger for God. That is true. For greater ministry and anointing like I have never seen. They are being used in the gifts of the Spirit often. And I want to insert here, parents, I speak to you now. There are several of our young people that are walking into another dimension in the Spirit and getting ready to ascend to another dimension. And if you will add your faithfulness and your godliness and your engagement to the things of God, any lack of that is right now a spiritual drag. It's not going to keep them from being used of God. God won't allow that. But if you will engage spiritually in personal spiritual disciplines, in church services, in faithfulness, and those things we've taught, if you will engage in that, it is going to accelerate what God is doing and wants to do. It shouldn't be that our sons and daughters out-worship us. It shouldn't be that our children attend prayer meetings and we don't. God help us not to be a spiritual drag and a weight on the generation that He has given us the responsibility not only to raise, but to lead and guide in the ways of God. It really doesn't matter how loud you respond on this, but I am going to ask, is the Word of God still important? Is prayer? Is holiness under the Lord? Is obedience and sacrifice? and commitment and saying, I'm all in. I'm all in. You can only straddle a fence so long, you're going to get splinters. And it's going to hurt. I'm walking with God. But I got one foot in the altar and another one in the world. I started to say, take the video off, but just leave it on, because this is the way some people are living for God. Huh? It's worth it. Whew. I know anything can attack us, anything can come our way, but I'm going to tell you what's in this brain right here. I'm not even thinking about backsliding. We don't know where the next attack's coming from. We don't. That's why we got to stay prayed up. Somebody said it in that, the devil never gives up. And by the way, as a pastor, let me preach a little bit to pastor here. He's got to do all this stuff. Somebody told me they was at a church and the pastor came in and got on to everybody for not being in pre-service prayer, and he wasn't even there himself. That don't make any sense. I can't be asking all this stuff of you and saying you ought to do it because you're the saints and I don't have to do it. You know the reason I need to do it? Not because I'm the pastor, because I need a relationship with God. I need to stay engaged in the service. I don't feel like one of my duties is watching who's worshiping and who's not, and I see that. But that's not my duty. I'm not the worship sheriff. We all ought to come to worship God. Hallelujah. In spirit, which means from the depth of our heart and spirit, and in truth, in sincerity. Some of us have been around so long, we know how to clap our hands and we know how to do it all. I'm glad we've learned it. I'm glad. But just knowing how to do it is not enough. We got to get engaged. Sometimes, you know, God just needs to get a hold of some of us by our collar and just shake us real quick. Might shake out a little pride. Don't give me that little grin like, oh, pastor, you're really feeling your Cheerios tonight. I believe this. I want this church saved. I want you to be saved, and I know you're the only one that can fix these things. I can't serve God for you. I can preach for you. I can preach to you. I can lead you. I can example for you. But only you can serve God for yourself. God, give us a deep down determination. I'm going to serve you no matter what. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to value you. I'm going to worship you. Stand with me if you would, please. Hallelujah. 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 God's calling us to a commitment tonight. He's calling us to a commitment. You know your own personal needs and weaknesses. You know your own strengths and you know your own requests. I'm asking anybody and everybody from any and every generation. And hold on before you come. We really need to, and I don't know if this will fix it or not, it probably hasn't in 35 years. It probably won't in one message. But we need to get beyond the day of 20% altar prayer. I don't know why you sit back there. I don't know why you don't come. I've tried to figure it out. And I've come to the conclusion, I'm not going to figure it out. We don't want to pray. We don't want to get engaged. I know there's the line, well, I pray other times. And well, if somebody's really praying like that, anytime there's an invitation, they're going to be one of the first ones. God's calling us for a commitment. He's going to help us to help one another too. I open this altar right now for everybody. Find you a place. Come close as you can. If you want to kneel, if you want to kneel up here. Yes, we're desperate about this. We need this. We need you, God. We need the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, we do. We need you, God. Lord, touch our generation. Lord, touch our generation. Lord, touch our generation. Lord, touch our generation. Ah. Oh, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, Lord. You've been good to us. You've been good. Hallelujah. Yes. That's right. That's right. Ah, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you. We need you more today than we ever have.